Hey everyone, this is Sarah, and welcome to my show. Woohoo! Hey, what's up? This is Sarah. So today I got a question for you. Would you want to be a client of your own practice? I know it's painful sometimes to think about, but it's one that you really have to look at. I wrote an article called Get 70 Deep Clients, period, and a lot of people really liked it. A lot of times we get into having our businesses look like something that what I call a chaotic Picasso. It looks good from afar, but when you look at it close up, it's not all it's cracked up to be. So a lot of us as advisors got into the business, and this was kind of how I got into it, with the mindset of, you know, I'll just take anybody, I'll do business with whoever. And, you know, sometimes that's just a creature of necessity, because if you're operating under a quota and you want to build a business, you might not be so selective about making sure that your clients are really sophisticated or really the kind of client that for the long term you're going to want for your practice. And it's just natural. It's human nature. You can't knock anybody for that. But if you don't correct or fix this or add some kind of a strategic vision for what you want the practice to ultimately look like, it can unfortunately materialize into what I call a chaotic Picasso, which looks something like advisor running around like his or her hair is on fire, staff running around like his or her hair is on fire. Practice is not profitable. Profitable clients are paying for the unprofitable clients. You don't know what your profit margin is. You're not getting referrals. COIs don't really take you that seriously. You're not able to grow, because with growth you increase the overhead, and then the new clients aren't profitable enough to justify that overhead. So I'd hate to say it, but the numbers really do matter. Your ability to maintain a profitable practice is going to be able to give you the levity and the flexibility that you're really going to need if you want to serve higher end clients or just really any client and serve them right. So what I'm trying to get at here is I think there's a better way to go about building your business. I think a lot of advisors should be considering this, and it's what I call the 70 deep model. So it involves getting 70 really deep clients that have sophisticated needs and will pay you at least $3,000 a year. So if you do the math on it, that comes out to about 1 hour a month. That will leave you, if you do 70 hours a month of client service, and yeah, I know, it's going to be a little bit more than that, but in theory, that's what you're aiming for. Then that gives you more time to focus on developing your business, creating your brand, developing your staff, making sure that everything is running smoothly, putting that extra time and attention into the client that really needs you to make sure that they retain with you and that they're loyal and that you're making them happy. You know, maybe just having a little bit of time to reflect, and I wouldn't say go to conferences because you know what I think of conferences generally in this industry, but to utilize educational resources and increase your level of skill and expertise so that you can be on the up and up. And so that you can have the freedom to elevate your level of delivery. And that's really important, because you always want to be thinking about doing that. And if you don't, if you're just going to focus on the kind of what I see as dead ends, which are the commoditized kinds of things, like, for example, administration, you know, like I know so many advisors that want to like be the person that programs the website, or they want to like write the blogs, like $25 an hour work, okay? Give that up to somebody else. How can you command $250 an hour from your clients and then turn around and bill out your own time as $25 an hour? That you bill your own practice for your time at $25 an hour, but you're going to bill your clients for $250? It's just so incongruous. You know, there are so many advisors that just want to use the same old models or the same old financial plans, and they never think about refreshing or adding a new twist on things. You've got to really look at where you're spending your time. And if you want to be able to serve these higher end clients, they are out there. And contrary to what everybody says, you can reach them over LinkedIn. if you're not having success with this, it's because they are ignoring you because you are delivering a message that does not convey the quality that you perhaps bring or maybe are not yet able to bring to this level of a sophisticated client. You know, you connect with the CEO of IBM, $50 million net worth. What would you even say to this person? Do you even know? Do you even have a really good understanding of sophisticated estate planning techniques that would apply here? Or would you be sitting there in the meeting relying on their attorney or relying on whoever else has that specialty? Because, you know, the advisor plays a very important role in this, in like strategically of coordinating all of these elements. You're not the estate planning attorney, but you know, attorneys think about finance in a different way than a financial advisor does. They think about wealth differently. And an attorney is not, unless they're one of these wealth managing attorneys, the average attorney is not a wealth manager because that's an entirely different way of thinking about things. You know, attorneys tend to be very factual. They tend to be very process oriented. They tend to be very everything by the books and focused on the documents. Advisors think about things, they think strategically. They think more in terms of the human element of it. And speaking of the human element, you know, what resources do you bring in terms of managing the emotions of the family towards their money? You know how many disputes have divided ultra-wealthy families where the in-laws aren't talking, the brother and the sister aren't talking, the mother's not talking to the father, you know, gotten a bad divorce, now someone remarried, now the kids didn't get the money that, I mean, it can be an imbroglio, okay? So what are you doing to manage transitions that happen with the family? You know, I had Sue Bradley on here. It was a great piece on, is it just lip service or are you actually a transitionist? Are you actually a transition manager? Can you actually bring emotional capital to the table and help your families, your clients, make sure that their next generation has the values, that the wealth embodies their values? I had Sterling Shea on the podcast. You know, some people may have their offspring may have very strong views about investing in nuke stocks or investing in tobacco, just throwing out some examples here. So how are you facilitating that? Is this something that you're aware of, or are you sloughing this off because you're more preoccupied with how to explain the management of the account or the account performance over the last 3 years? Because that's a commodity, folks. Like, investment management fees, like, really are going to zero. And, you know, you can fight it, I think, by delivering these higher level services that wealthy people desperately need and they desperately will seek. However, it's up to you to create that value proposition and to create a practice that can give them that and is not just saying it. And it has to make sense in the hard dollars. If you're talking to somebody about paying you what might be the equivalent in 1 year of what it would cost to send one of their kids to college, and you know what I mean, the fees really can get that high if you're targeting one of these ultra wealthy people, then you had better come to the table with a pretty good justification of that. And it can't just be the hand-holding aspect or the fact that we call you or that you trust us or, you know, that we didn't steal your money. Like, you're not getting paid for that anymore at this level. At this level, it had better be something like, there was something incorrect in the way that you set up your GRAT, so I had to restructure it. Or something like, you know, you were at a tremendous disadvantage because you were selling a house and you were standing in the face of a tremendous tax liability. And I worked with your accountant who, I mean, CPA, again, is not a wealth manager. They tend to think of the numbers. They tend to look at things very factually, maybe not as strategic at times. I was able to work with your accountant and set up a trust vehicle or whatever vehicle it may be. I was able to set up a legal structure so that you did not suffer this tax liability. It has to make sense in the hard dollars. Now, I'm not saying there's a home run every single time, but it can't just be that, you know, we generated great investment performance, because really you don't have that much control over this. And, you know, coming up empty when someone's paying you tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars, you're not going to, is not a good thing, because you're not going to have that client for very long if you cannot justify these exorbitant fees. You know, fees are going to zero. Fees are going down on the investment side. I say instead of dropping your fees, that you raise them. In fact, ridiculously raise them. But in lockstep with that, over-deliver and deliver a ridiculous amount of value. That's my inspiration and that's my message here on this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll put some links below for some resources that I've mentioned here in the call. Thank you all, and I hope you will subscribe. Bye.